Welcome to MCC. I am so glad you are here. We are in part three of our series, Courageous. Pastor Jeff kicked this series off 2 weeks ago with Be Courageous and Think Big. We said when it comes to our God and what He can do, what He can do through us and with us and in us, we've got to think big. Our God is bigger than we can imagine. Nothing is impossible with God's help. His ways and thoughts are not like ours. We cannot begin to fathom the extent and capabilities of His power. We followed that last week with Be Courageous. Take risks. With a big God, a God so big, we can trust Him to have all the resources necessary and more to even use us to do great things. His power is so big, His love is so deep, and His forgiveness is so complete. He has great plans for us, and we can dare to take some great risks for Him and with Him. Today, we will tackle Be Courageous, Overcome Fear. It takes a lot of courage to overcome fear. Fear is one of those things that holds us back from taking the risk God puts before us. Fear is no respecter of persons. Everybody experiences fear. It's part of life. Here are some of the top fears that people have. See if any of them describe you. Fear of public speaking, fear of death, of heights, the dark, rejection, failure, and the fear of intimacy. For example, some of these fears are maybe what's keeping you from joining a small group. What if they ask me to read or pray out loud? Public speaking. But they're such a tight group. What if I don't fit in with everyone else? Fear of intimacy. What if my thoughts and opinions are different from theirs? Fear of rejection. Some fears we've had since we were children. Fear of the dark. Some people still sleep with the light on. That's fine. It's just something we've always had. Fear of heights. Okay, that's my biggest fear. Ask anyone who helps assemble our living flag, does Pastor David climb up there and help with the scaffolding? No, buddy. I do not. I stand on the floor and supervise. Somebody has to do it. I remember the two times I jumped off a high dive platform. Actually, it was only once, but it was my first and last times. How many of you remember those when you were growing up, even at the public pools? This one was a three-tier concrete platform. The high dive was 10 meters. That's 32.8 feet. How tall is this? Anybody know? 35 feet. That's just about that high right there. I watched for hours in the pool as hundreds of kids, some of them my age and older, and some much younger than I, were jumping off that platform. And I thought to myself, man, that looks like fun. I can do that. Climbing past the two lower platforms, followed by dozens of other people, I took the 10,000 stairs to get to the top. Reaching the top, I soon found myself holding on for dear life to that railing as I tiptoed out to the edge. And then I did the courageous thing. I turned to climb back down those 10,000 stairs. But then I heard the lifeguard's whistle. I was told you're not allowed to go down the stairs. I had to jump off and to please hurry because they were closing the high platform so they could open the lower ones. One by one, those that had climbed up there with me jumped and they shouted with joy, "Whee!" all the way down. I'm happy to tell you, I finally did jump. Well, I took the first step. Gravity did the rest. Do you know how hard it is to pray and shout, "Whee!" and hold your breath all at the same time with your eyes closed. Psychiatrists tell us we are born with only two innate fears, the fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. Now that means every other fear we have is learned. The good news is whatever fears we have learned, we can unlearn. When it comes to your fear, you have three choices. You can try to avoid it. You can simply hope it will go away. Or you can face it head on and try to overcome it. When it comes to my fear of heights, for example, I try to avoid it. I don't climb up on high platforms anymore. I don't climb on high scaffolding. And I have children to climb on the roof and clean the gutters. The closest I come to facing my fears is allowing the crazy kids around here to talk me into going down that slide in Rantoul after a successful VBS each year. And every year I keep saying, I'm not doing that again. I'm not doing that again. But what we want to do today is help one another overcome our fear, because fear is the arch enemy of faith. There's a great lesson in the Bible about fear versus faith. It's found in Numbers chapters 13 and 14. This episode, as you turn to that, this episode is taken from the history of Israel, and it shows us how we see things has a profound impact on every area of our life. Moses has just led the people out of Egypt. The big God of Israel, our big God, had parted the Red Sea, and more than 2 million Israelites crossed on dry land. And they watched as the waters closed and drowned the Egyptian army behind them. They have now wandered in the desert for 2 years and are about ready to enter the promised land. But before they entered, God decided He wanted to give them a sneak peek of what He had in store for them. So God told Moses to put together a team of 12 men, a leader from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Their assignment was simple. Search out the land. Take a first-hand look at your new home. The home, the land that your big God is giving to you. Go see this land God has promised Israel since the days of Abraham. Go see what God means when He says it's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's kind of like Christmas Eve. Maybe this happened in your home. When we were growing up on Christmas Eve, our parents, seeing all of our anxiousness about the next day, would always let us open one present. You could pick it, just one present. Kind of a sneak preview. That made it a lot easier to sleep. So Moses sent out 12 men to carry out this directive from God. And when they returned, they had two totally different perspectives. 10 of them came back with a negative report, because they looked at the land God had promised them through the eyes of fear. While they were there, they took note of all the obstacles and all the problems facing them. But two men on this team came back with a positive report, because they looked at this same land that God had promised them through the eyes of faith. They saw what a great place God had waiting for them. 10 saw big problems. 2 saw big promises. 10 saw obstacles. 2 saw opportunities. 10 responded in fear and called for retreat. 2 responded in faith and called for taking risks. Unfortunately, as is often the case, they went with the majority report. And because the majority did not see things from God's perspective, they wandered around with no place to call home for another 40 years. They caused an entire generation to die in the wilderness. And they missed unimaginable blessings from God that He had just waiting for them, simply because they were afraid to trust in God. Now, let's look at this lesson from both sides. First, from Numbers 13, what happens when fear overcomes faith? The first thing is we begin to totally rely on human wisdom. Look at verse 28. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. Now, let me ask you, is this a problem for them? Yeah, you betcha. For them. For us. But how soon we forget. Why should this be a problem for people who had just been set free from the most powerful nation in the world and who had just witnessed one of the greatest miracles ever recorded, all from the hand of their big God, this same big God who had promised them this land? Did they really think that the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, or the Budlites would be a problem for him? When you look at your problems, do you think they're too big for you? Well, you're probably right. But do you think they are too big for our big God? Sandy Shalief recently reposted this on her Facebook. Remember, God did not remove the Red Sea. He opened it. Just because God hasn't removed your problems doesn't mean He won't provide a way through. Secondly, when fear overcomes faith, we exaggerate the situation. Look at verse 33. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. Hey, listen to me carefully. When you see yourself as grasshoppers, how do you expect others to see you? If you see yourself as powerless, how do you expect others to see you? If you see yourself afraid and unable, how do you expect others to see you? Third, when fear overcomes faith, we spread negative talk. Look at verse 32. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it." Really? Well, why aren't those that are living in it been devoured yet? Fear is threatened on its own. So it recruits other people to make it more secure. Fear is contagious. That's why we can easily say fear, misery loves company. That's why, young or old, it is so important that you choose your inner circle of friends very carefully. Statistic after statistic, survey after survey, research after research, all say the same thing. The five or six people who are the closest to you will determine your success or failure. It goes on to say in chapter 14, verse 1, that night all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. Basically, they were having a pity party. They didn't hear what they thought they were going to hear when these guys came back. They didn't hear that things were exactly as they thought it was going to be or should be. And they began a chorus of, "Woe is me, if we do this, we're all going to die." Number four, when fear overcomes faith, we have an unrealistic view of the past. Look at chapter 14, verse 4. They said to each other, "We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt." Or to put another word in there, we should choose a new leader. one that will lead us back to the way it was, to the good old days. You remember the days of slavery, the days of hard labor, the days of constantly crying out to the Lord to deliver us? Let's go back to that. Fear has a short memory. Fear dreads the future so much it often glamorizes the past. When you lose your vision for the future, you return to the past. Number five, and I apologize for this. I was looking at the outline this morning. I missed this one on your outline. So write it in. Okay? Write it in. Number five, when fear overcomes faith, we criticize proven leaders. Look at chapter 14, verse 2. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. Moses? Who besides King David did the Jews exalt throughout their entire history more than Moses? Moses and Aaron, his brother. And they're grumbling against them. Who came into Egypt and challenged Pharaoh and secured their release and freedom? And now they're grumbling against him. Visionary leaders are often criticized. Why? Because they get us out of our comfort zone. They dare to think God can do more with us and not just for us. So they challenge us to do things we've never done before. And that means moving forward in faith. Bob and Mike, welcome to the eldership. Number six, we miss opportunities for spiritual growth. Because of their lack of faith, because of their failure to believe in a big God, because of their fear to trust God to use them and take risks, they were sentenced to wander in that desert for another 40 years. Faith seizes the opportunity, but fear causes us to delay. And we miss the opportunities God puts before us to grow spiritually. Now, real quickly, let's flip the coin over. Turn with me to Daniel chapter number 3. And let's see what happens when faith overcomes fear. Number one, we'll stand up for what is right. There comes a time in the life of every Christ follower when we must face our fear, face our giants, and stand up for what is right, or bow down in defeat and become a crowd follower and do what everybody else is doing. Three teenage Israelite boys were taken captive to Babylon, along with Daniel and many, many others. And they risked their lives rather than bow down to a 90-foot idol. King Nebuchadnezzar had an image of himself made of gold. It was 90 feet tall, and he commanded every person throughout the land to bow down and worship it. Anyone who did not was to be thrown into a blazing furnace. Now, verse 12 says, it was reported to the king, there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up. That's courageous. That's courage. These three young men refused to compromise. Courage is doing the right thing regardless of the consequences. Ask yourself this morning, in what area of your life do you need to be courageous and take a stand? Secondly, we rely totally on God, not human wisdom. Look beginning at verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, I don't think they're being three smart aleck teenagers getting in your face attitude to the king. They're just telling it like it is. King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. You believe that? And He will deliver us from Your Majesty's hand. But even if He does not, we want you to know, Your Majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Wow. That's taking a stand and totally relying on God. See, they just threw God under the bus. They knew the consequences. They had been spelled out very clearly for everyone in the land. They knew that if they defied the king in this matter, there would be nothing they could do about it. But they also knew they had a big God who was able to rescue them. Most of you are familiar with the rest of the account. The king is furious, orders the furnace to be stoked up 7 times hotter than normal. It was so hot, in fact, it killed the soldiers who threw them in it. The king looked in a moment later, expecting to see 3 teens cremated. But verse 25 tells us he saw instead 4 men. And they were walking around. I think they were listening to one of my sermons that hadn't been preached yet, but 4 men, they were walking around, and now, see, they had a guest, and their guest in the fire looked like the Son of God. You see, God was with them. And He will be with you too. Not just for you, rooting you on, pointing you in the right direction, but with you. Isn't that what Jesus' coming was all about? Emmanuel, what? God with us. And last, when faith overcomes fear, we're going to experience God's faithfulness. The Bible says in Daniel 3:26, then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent His angel and rescued His servants. They trusted in Him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own. That's courage. And because of their courage and faithfulness to God, God was faithful. And yes, He rescued them. And further, beyond anything they could imagine, God used them to impact the king, and it turned His kingdom around. Look at the next verse, 29. Therefore, still the king speaking, therefore I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces, and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other God can save in this way. Ooh, that gives me chills. Guys, it's time for every one of us here this morning and everyone who'll be listening to this message later online to face our fears. How do you get the courage to overcome your fear? Well, you have to remember God's faithfulness. All through the Scriptures, God's faithfulness always comes through, and He will be faithful to us too. So here's our takeaway. Memorize Isaiah 41:10. God has made us this promise, and He will be faithful to keep it. Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. You believe that? You believe God's with you at work? You believe He's with you at school? You believe He's with you at home? You believe He's with you at church? Fear not, I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I'm not like the gods of King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians or the Assyrians or the Persians or anybody else. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen and help you. I will uphold you in my righteous right hand. I'd love for all of us just to commit that to memory. As we head out of here today, as we go to work tomorrow or school, as we get involved in all the community activities and events that we're in, as we're involved with other families and their children and their friends, that we remember this. I'm with you. I'm your God. I'll strengthen you. I'll help you. I will uphold you. Memorize Isaiah 41:10. Let's begin that today. Can we all say that together? Is that still up there? Let's just say that together. So do not fear, for I am your God. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I'm with you. I'm sorry earlier. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And all the people said, amen. Father God, thank you so much for such a great promise. And thank you, Father, so much for the proven record of your faithfulness. Thank you so much that we can leave here today knowing that no matter what we face, you will be with us. You will strengthen us. You will help us. You will uphold us. But Father, that means that we need to be courageous. We need to stand for what's right. We need to overcome our fear. Realizing, yes, they're real. And all these situations we may be facing this week, they're real. And some of them are absolutely impossible for us. But with you, nothing is impossible. So this morning, Father, whatever our fears are, help us to hold your hand. Help us to walk with you and face them head on. For some this morning, that fear may be just coming forward and surrendering our life to you. Of saying, my way of living is not getting me where I want to be. And if I keep living this way, it's not going to get any better. So I want to be courageous to step out and take a stand for you and with you. Accept you as my Lord and Savior. To be obedient to you as I confess that you're my King to all those around me. And follow you in Christian baptism to wash away the sins of my life. And to know, Father, that I will be filled with the gift of your Holy Spirit. So it will no longer be I against the world. It will be us against the world. And while many will say that God and one man is majority, we can stand here confidently and say, God all by himself is majority. We're simply joining the real majority. Some need to step out and say, I want to become a member of the church. I've been attending for a while and, you know, I'm just afraid to maybe step down front of everybody. All those reasons we listed, it's okay, I'm going to overcome that. I'm going to say, I love this church. I love what you're trying to do for God. I love that you're not perfect, but that you realize you serve a perfect God. Some of us need to go home and make some phone calls. Some of us need to write some letters. Some of us need to stand up to those who are trying to beat us down. But whatever our decisions, whatever our fears, help us this morning to overcome them. As your Spirit moves and then works within us. In Jesus' name, amen.